Daniel chapter 12. Do you have your Bibles open there? Daniel chapter 12. Let's read verses 4 through 7. That's going to be our text tonight. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be a time, times, and a half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. 2 weeks ago, we were introduced in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1 to the righteous redeemed remnant. And in that, we saw that at the close of the tribulation, one third of the global population of Jews will be saved. What's going to happen to the other two-thirds? Well, they will die during the tribulation. But this one-third will be saved, restored to favor, and enter into the kingdom age. And God will at last fulfill his covenant with his people, Israel. And then last week, we talked about the resurrection of the righteous redeemed. And we saw that at the close of the tribulation, at the second coming of Christ, the Old Testament saints, as well as the tribulation saints, both Jews and Gentiles, who have believed and were saved during that seven-year period, and who were killed because of their testimony for Christ and because they refused to take the mark of the beast, at that time will at last be raised to life. Of course, the church will be resurrected 7 years earlier at the end of the church age, at the rapture of the church, which will be the beginning of that seven-year period. But the Old Testament saints and these tribulation saints will be resurrected at the close of that seven-year period. Now, in this closing section that we read tonight, at least we began tonight, the Lord clarifies some final features, yet even after that clarification, he leaves some mystery for the future. He's not going to disclose every detail. We're not going to know everything, but we will, as we have learned already, hopefully grasp some new truths about what God is doing. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. Let's look at that again. He says, but you, Daniel, and I read the first time I read from the New King James, I'm reading for the English Standard Version this time. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now, the angel tells Daniel that the vision, which began in chapter 10, remember chapters 10, 11, and 12, all constitute one vision that God gave, and there's some divisions there that we've looked at, but that begins in chapter 10. And so the angel tells Daniel that this vision that began in chapter 10, which really has been revelation of the history of Israel, although to Daniel it was yet future, and that is the history of Israel from Daniel's time to the time of the Antichrist, all of that sweeping revelation, the angel tells Daniel, is finished. It's done. It's over. When we get to Daniel chapter 12, he is told to roll up the scroll and shut it. That's the end. Seal it until the time of the end. Now, that's a very specific period of time, and let me just work up to that. The verse begins, shut up the words and seal the book. And what really is being declared here, and I want you to understand this, what's being declared here is the idea of preservation. He's telling Daniel, don't let this get away from you. Don't lose it. Shut it up. Make it secure. Treat it with seriousness. Seal it up and preserve it. Preserve it until when? Well, he says there, until the time of the end. Now, we'll talk more about that in a minute, but it's interesting. He says to seal up the book. That word book here has reference to writing, to written material. The Hebrew word is siphrah, S-I-P-H-R-A-H, if you're recording that, if you're writing that down. Siphrah, and it usually refers to a substantial, rather lengthy portion of written material. And so the instruction from this angel who has given him the revelation is now that it's time to write it down and to put the last period on the last page, to write the end. It's time to seal it up and preserve it until the time of the end. Now, what does he mean when he talks about the time of the end? Well, this is a reference to the time of the Great Tribulation. And that shouldn't be a surprise. We've talked about that before, and we've seen this phrase before. It's used of the same period in Daniel chapter 8, verse 17, and verse 19. It's used in Daniel chapter 11, verses 35 and verse 40. And it's used in a number of other places in the Bible. And so the angel says to Daniel, preserve the book, seal it up until the time of the Great Tribulation. Now, the sealing of the book does not mean that the message is hidden. That is probably a pretty easy conclusion to jump to, but that's not what Daniel's being told here. It's not talking about the message being hidden. It just means that it is safely preserved for those who come later, and especially for those in the tribulation. See, during the time of the tribulation, the book of Daniel is going to be reopened, rediscovered by the people of God, and it's going to be studied all over again. And they'll understand it clearly. As a matter of fact, they'll be reading it as though it were the daily newspaper, because all of the events they are reading about will be coming to pass. In fact, we talked about this last time. How is it that so many people are going to be saved during the tribulation? A great host of Gentiles is going to be saved during that time. A third of the nation of Israel will be saved. How is that going to come about? Well, certainly it will be part of it by through the ministry of the 144,000, those Jewish evangelists that are going to be raised up. But added to that, the world will focus on the book of Daniel, and also no doubt on the book of Revelation, because they will provide a detailed explanation of every single event that is occurring during the tribulation. And we looked at that. We saw those things in detail as we read the Revelation. Now, let's go to the rest of verse 4. Look at what it says. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. This is an interesting phrase, and it's been interpreted in a lot of different ways, but let me just tell you what I think it means. And it's not, I don't believe, talking about the increase of general knowledge in the world, or of scientific knowledge or technological knowledge. I mean, that's a pretty easy conclusion to come to, because as we look over the last 100 years, how just phenomenally the knowledge in the world has increased. But what I think it means is that in the tribulation, many people are going to run to and fro. I mean, you have to keep this in context, okay? How does this fit in the context of what we're studying? Well, I think it means that in the tribulation, many people are going to be running to and fro trying to find answers for what's going on. And again, we've talked about at great length about the tribulation and the things that are going to be taking place. Can you imagine the confusion and the fear and the terror that will overtake the minds and hearts of people? And they're going to be looking for answers. They're going to be looking for someone who can tell them. They're going to be looking for information. And one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to be looking into the Bible, and they'll be looking at the book of Daniel. And at that point, their knowledge will be increased. That expression is used many times in the Old Testament of a person who is in search of information, chasing and running and looking for answers. And that's the way it's intended here. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, look and take note. Search her squares to see if you can find a man who does justice and seeks truth, that I may pardon her." It carries the idea of someone who is running around trying to find answers. And when the time of the end comes upon the world, people are going to be looking everywhere to try to find answers for what's happening, and particularly the Jews. I mean, they're going to be looking for answers about why has yet another Holocaust come upon us? Why have these disasters been brought upon us? Why are these events taking place? And in the process of that search for answers, they will come to the book of Daniel, and knowledge will be increased, and they will find their answers, and they'll understand. As a matter of fact, they'll understand it far better than we understand it now. And so the angel says to Daniel, "The content is sealed, Daniel. As far as the immediate future is concerned, any attempt to fully understand will be impossible, but in the end, it will all become clear." Now, what happens next is interesting. The obvious question, I think, that if I was Daniel at least, that would arise in my mind, the question I think that probably arose in Daniel's mind at this point was, when is this going to happen? When is the end? When is everybody going to read it and understand? Daniel wanted to know, hey, when's this going to happen? Now, we know Daniel wanted to ask that question because he asked a similar question later in the chapter. But what happens here is really kind of funny, because someone else jumps into the discussion and asks the question before Daniel does. As a matter of fact, it's to someone else's. You know who they are? Well, look in verse 5. "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood on this bank of the river, and one on the other bank of the stream." Two angels, I guess they've just been standing around and listening to the conversation, and they're excited about the prophecy and what's going to happen to God's people, and so it looks as though they just sort of butt in. Now, according to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 4, he is near the river Hiddekel, which you'll remember was an ancient name for the Tigris River. And all of a sudden, he looks, and next to the river, he sees these two angels. And then there's also, in addition to that, the person to whom he has been speaking. Now, it's kind of curious here. I mean, why do these angels appear? And really, why two angels? Well, when God wanted to confirm a great revelation, he confirmed it by the mouth of two witnesses. And you go back and you read the Old Testament, especially in the law, you find that, you know, when a covenant was made, that there was to be witnesses, and two or three witnesses. And so these angels are here probably to serve as witnesses. And so they are witnessing the proclamation that is about to be made. Now, again, we see angels, angelic involvement in the proclamation and in the execution of God's plan. And this, to me, is one of the most fascinating studies. If you weren't here for the series that we did on angels, I can probably get that in print for you. We didn't record it, but I know that I have made copies, some hard copies for some people, so if you're interested in that. But it's intriguing to see how the angels are involved. Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. They are there, and they're involved in carrying out of the plan of God. And here in Daniel chapter 12, we see these angels appear as witnesses to this great covenant. Now, notice verse 6. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, notice that, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? Now, there's one angel on one side of the stream, and there's an angel on the other side of the stream, and then there is this man clothed in linen in the middle, apparently levitating or floating in the air, above the river. And one of the angels that's standing on the side of the river asks, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Now, isn't that interesting? These angels were just as curious as Daniel was. They didn't understand it all either. And you remember the words of the Lord Jesus when the disciples asked him about the time of his coming. They said, when shall these things be? You remember what Jesus said? He said that no one knows, not the angels or heaven, nor even the Son of Man, that is in his humiliation while he was here in the flesh, but only the Father. There's mystery with the angels. They don't know everything, and they were curious. In fact, Peter says concerning our salvation that these things the angels desire to look into. They are as fascinated by God's plan and God's activity as we are. And so they beat Daniel to the punch. And so he sees a man clothed in linen over the top of the river. And he sees these angels on either side of the river. And one of the angels says to the man clothed in linen over the middle of the river, how long is it going to be till the end of these wonders? Now, who is this man that is clothed in linen? Well, if you go back over to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 5, when this whole thing began, you'll see that it says, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. Now, who is this man that's clothed in linen? Well, look at it again. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. Now, we saw that this description is almost identical to the description of the Lord Jesus Christ in the first chapter of Revelation. We're not going to take time to go back there and look at that. You can go look at that description in Revelation chapter 1 later and just take it step by step. The man clothed in fine linen, as we saw in the text at that time, was none other than the pre-incarnate Christ, the second person of the Godhead, what is called a Christophany or a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was clothed in linen because linen was the garment of the priesthood, and white linen was the symbol of holiness and of purity. And so here he appears again. And, you know, as I read that, I thought, how cool is that? You know, here near the end of Daniel's life, as he approaches 90 years of age, at the conclusion of his remarkable ministry, that his last and final vision is a vision of the one who will bring it all to pass. I hope God gives me one. Daniel, again, sees here at the close of this book, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord. And so he sees this glorious, majestic person clothed in linen. And the angels ask him for information. And by the way, that is an indication to me that this is, in fact, God, the second person of the Trinity, because he has information that the angels do not have. As a matter of fact, the angels are seen in a subordinate place down on the edge of the water. and he's in the middle, elevated. And angels, again, ask the question, how long is it going to be until the end of these wonders? Now, to what wonders are they referring? Well, the ones that he's just been talking about in the beginning of this chapter, about the wonders that are connected with the reign of the Antichrist. They've seen all of these things that the Antichrist is going to do at the time of the Great Tribulation. How long is it going to be? Notice what he says to the end of these wonders. He's not talking about the history from Daniel's time to the Antichrist, but just the end of it. How long will the Antichrist do these things? That's the context, all right? He's talking about the reign of the Antichrist. How long is that going to take? How long is that going to be? How long will the Antichrist do these things? They want to know the duration of time. They want to know when it's going to be over. Now, you might ask, well, why would the angels want to know that? Well, I don't know for sure. But it might be that the angels are, even in Daniel's time, already pretty tired of fighting with demons. And they just like to get it over with. While angels are mighty spirit beings with great power, they are still finite creatures like us. And they must get weary. Michael has been defending the people of Israel for a long time. And they're just anxious to see the redemption, just like you and I are, and just like Daniel is. And so they ask, how long is it going to be until the end? How long will this great tribulation last? It kind of piques my curiosity that they were still asking that question after Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 had already given the answer. You don't have to turn there, but just mark it down. You can go look at it later. But the Lord had told them there that it was going to be 3.5 years, and that it was a long time yet in the future. Tribulation's 7 years long, but it's divided into two sections of 3.5 years. And the last 3.5 years is the part that is called the Great Tribulation, for reasons we've talked about already, and I'm not going to go into again tonight. But God had already told them it was going to be 3.5 years. I don't know why they needed to know it again. Maybe they just needed an affirmation, or maybe they didn't really understand it the last time. Or it may have been that these two particular angels weren't present when Daniel was told before. See, angels, again, are finite. They're not infinite like God. They're not omnipresent like God. They're confined to space and time. They can move very rapidly from one place to another, but they're still subject to space and time. And so they may have been in another location and didn't hear it before. We just don't know. But we do know that in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 7 comes the answer to their question. Look at what it says there in verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. And he raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I like that. There's some things in there that when we begin this study, I would really struggle with that I've learned. Whenever a Jew wanted to make an oath, he would raise his right hand. And we do that too. I mean, you go into court to testify and you're told to do what? Well, raise your right hand and promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's a symbol of swearing an oath. And when you raise both hands, that's, you know, about as far as you can go. And that would be a picture of a binding declaration. And here the Lord puts up both of his hands and he swears, the Bible says, by him who lives forever. Who's that? Well, it's God. God who alone has immortality. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. God lives forever, and so he swears by the everlasting God. And what does he swear? Well, look at what it says, that it shall be for a time, that's one, times, that's plural, and you're not given any other information. It would just be two. Time, one, times two, and a half a time. That is, one plus two plus one and a half is what? Three and a half. 3.5 years. How long is it going to last? 3.5 years. How long is the Antichrist reign of terror going to last? How long is it going to be that the end of these wonders will occur? Well, 3.5 years. I mean, that's pretty plain, isn't it? That's pretty plain, but some people struggle with that. And I think that's why God puts it in the Bible over and over and over and over again. And not only does he put it in there over and over and over again, but he puts it in there in a whole lot of different ways just to make it unmistakable. And then the Lord gives a purpose for the activity of the Antichrist in verse 7. Look at it again. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all things would be finished. Now, what's the purpose of the tribulation? What's the purpose of the tribulation? What's the tribulation going to accomplish? Well, you should be able to answer that question by now. It is to utterly devastate the holy people. Who are they? Was the nation who was set apart unto God. Who is that? The nation of Israel. The Antichrist is going to come to break the power, or literally to shatter or to dash to pieces the power of the Jews. Now, we have to love the people of Israel and to tell them that it is not going to get better, that it's going to get a lot worse, and that there is coming a future world ruler, and they're going to put their faith in him, and they're going to put their trust in him. Remember in Daniel chapter 9, we saw that they're going to swear an allegiance to them. They are going to sign an agreement with him for 7 years, but in the middle of that agreement, at the beginning of the second 3.5 years, he is going to turn on them, and he's going to devastate them, and he is going to shatter them, and he's going to dash them into pieces. He will break their power utterly and totally. He will bring such persecution as they have never conceived. And folks, understand, we've talked about this. That is a lot. That is a lot. You remember World War II, there were 6 million Jews that were murdered by Hitler and the Nazis. The world is just now getting back to the pre-World War II population of the Jews. And we said that, you know, today there's about 15 million Jews. If two-thirds of them died today, that would be 10 million. If the tribulation came today and they were killed, that would be 10 million Jews. Well, that's only 4 million more than the number of Jews that were killed in the Holocaust. You understand why they're going to be running around looking for answers. You understand why they are going to be wondering what is going on. And the Antichrist will come and he'll break the power and totally destroy the Jews. He'll bring such persecution that they can't imagine it. He will bring a time of trouble like no other in history. That's what the Bible says. We've seen that over and over again. And what will come out of it? What will happen? What will be the response? Well, instead of destroying the people of God, they will be so broken and so lost and so devastated that they will look to their Messiah. And as Zechariah puts it, they will look on him whom they've pierced and mourn for him as an only son. And they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as King and Messiah and Savior. They will be so crushed. They will have nowhere to go but to Jesus. You know, that's where God takes us, isn't it? When he gets us in a place where we have nowhere to turn but to him. That's how he brings us to Christ. And that's exactly what is going to happen to the Jews. And it will take the Antichrist just 3.5 years to bring it to pass. If you've wondered what the tribulation is for, it is for the judgment of the evil earth. It is for the punishment of the nations. But in this part of Daniel's revelation, the writer focuses by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on what will happen to Israel. And if you had to put at the top of that list of things that are going to be accomplished by the tribulation, it is the restoration of the nation of Israel. Now, we know this 3.5-year period is to come. We know it from the book of Revelation. It's repeated over and over again. There's just no question about it. Revelation chapter 11 says there will come two witnesses who will preach and prophesy. How long? 1260 days. How long is that? 3.5 years, 3.5 prophetic years of 360 days each. And so again, whether it's 3.5 years or whether it's 1260 days, it's the same thing. You see it in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. The Lord is going to protect the remnant of Israel for 1260 days. You have it again in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, "And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. How long is 42 months? Well, 42 months is 3.5 years. And so it's just repeated in every way possible to be certain that it is understood. The ending of history is going to be the Antichrist crushing the holy people, and then they will become genuinely holy. See, in the beginning, they're holy people by calling, God calling them as His people. But then they're going to become genuinely holy through repentance of their sins and through acceptance of their true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Their sin will be so deep, their destruction so complete, that at last, after 2,500 years of persecution, of chastisement, at last they will look to their covenant-keeping God. God made a covenant with them thousands of years ago. And God will keep that covenant. They will at last look to their covenant-keeping God, who will be faithful to redeem them through the Messiah, and they will be gloriously saved. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 29, says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. When he comes, in his flawless judgment, at the end of the tribulation, he also comes to gather together his gloriously redeemed people." Amen. And that will include Israel. They'll turn to their Messiah through the indescribable destruction of the tribulation and God's covenant with Israel will be fulfilled. Let me ask you one more time, and I want you to remember this. What is the purpose of the tribulation? To restore Israel. That is right. To restore and redeem the nation of Israel. Remember the covenant that he made with Israel back in Daniel chapter 12. Okay? That covenant will be fulfilled.